It's Tuesday, August 24th. I'm Oscar Ramirez from the Daily Dive podcast in Los Angeles, and this is Reopening America. The FDA has finally granted full approval to the COVID-19 vaccine made by Pfizer to those 16 and older. Children under 11 are still not approved, and those ages 12 to 15 can get the vaccine under emergency use authorization. With this approval, the hope is that some hesitant people might now get their shots, but also that more businesses and local governments might start mandating them. Andrew Joseph, reporter at Stat News, joins us for what to know about Pfizer's full approval.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, the FDA has finally granted full approval to the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. We've been waiting for this for some time. It was in December, I believe, when it was approved on an emergency use basis. But now we got the full approval. The big hope, obviously, is that more people would be willing to take the vaccine now that it has been fully approved.
Right, exactly. I think one of the concerns that some people raised about the vaccines is they, you know, it didn't have full FDA approval. And so I think that maybe to them meant like it didn't have the full, I guess, kicking of the tires that an FDA approved product would. So this could help, I guess, reassure some individuals, but perhaps more powerfully, I think you might actually start seeing more companies and agencies institute vaccine mandates with a full approval, because now they can kind of point to this as like the final straw that they needed to institute a mandate. And already today, you're seeing that like a couple local agencies in New York and New Jersey, the military came out and said with this FDA approval, they're going to require COVID-19 vaccines. So that's probably the bigger implication, right, just in terms of numbers of people.
Yeah, I think it was San Francisco had already passed it, basically saying we're waiting for the full approval, and then boom, you know, you're going to have to be, the mandates are going to start coming there. So yeah, so that's kind of the biggest implication we're seeing out there. And, you know, just to anecdotally, just to share this, I work at a radio station as well. One of the morning shows did kind of this informal poll. Let's hear from listeners talking about, will you get the vaccine now that it's been fully approved? Not many people said yes. You know what I mean? So I don't know how much it's going to move the needle on that front, but you know, obviously that is the big hope. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the process that goes into it, because even the full approval was fast-tracked, and I don't want people to get scared away from it. Pfizer had to submit so much data to be considered for it to be fully approved. They sent in some 340,000 pages for their approval application. I mean, there was a lot of data that went into it.
Yeah, I mean, and the FDA was obviously hurrying because of the importance of this in this emergency. But like, in terms of like what they did to expedite it, it was more just like putting more reviewers on, or, you know, it wasn't like they cut corners or didn't go through their process, right, or anything like that. And, you know, some people were kind of wondering, why is the FDA taking so long in general to get full approval? And they basically like kind of had, just like, this is how the process goes, they had to wait for an additional 6 months of safety data. And so that, like you said, the EUA for Pfizer's vaccine, the first one in the United States, came in December. And so they had to wait, you know, 6 months for data, and then, you know, a couple months to collect and analyze and review it and make sure everything looked good. So they were, you know, moving expeditiously, but they were also, you know, there were sort of benchmarks that they had to hit, including that 6 months of additional safety data. And so that's why the approval came when it did.
So who is covered in this full authorization? Because I know 12 to 15-year-olds are still under emergency use authorization.
Right.
What's the breakdown on it?
Yeah, so the full approval goes for people 16 and up. And again, that's just because that's the group that was under the original EUA, excuse me. And so that's why the FDA now has 6 months of additional safety data on that group. The EUA for the Pfizer vaccine for 12 to 15-year-olds came later, so there hasn't been that six-month follow-up yet. So that's why there's this difference where the 12 to 15-year-olds are still under EUA for the Pfizer vaccine, whereas 16 and above are part of this full approval.
Now, obviously, the FDA is giving full approval for all of this, but they did say that there were some risks associated with this, some risks of two types of heart inflammation that mostly affected younger men.
They're called myocarditis and pericarditis, and they're basically inflammation of different parts of the heart and the area around the heart. And health officials have been seeing this with both the mRNA vaccines for the past couple months, like initially in Israel, where they rolled out vaccines really quickly. and then subsequently in other countries as well, including in the U.S. And so this has been on their radar for a while. And actually, like, I can't remember, it was maybe a month or two ago, they added the risk of myocarditis and pericarditis to the sort of information prescribers get for who give out vaccines and also people get when they receive their vaccines for both Pfizer and Moderna. But like you said, so far it appears to be most common within about a week of people's second shot, because these are two dose regimens. And like, the risk is highest for men under 40 compared to older men or women overall. And then it's the risk is the highest risk is among 12 to 17 year olds. And I should be clear that like, there's a risk and they've seen this and it appears to be a rare side effect. But it's again, it's very rare. And most cases appear to have been mild and sort of resolved on their own. And what experts would also tell you is that myocarditis and pericarditis, there are a lot of different causes, but a common one is a viral infection. And the rates of both appear to be much higher after a COVID-19 infection than from these vaccines.
What's next then for all the vaccines? We're still waiting for Moderna to get their full approval. That'll take a little bit of time. And then beyond that, even for Pfizer, the next step for them is more data on younger kids, right? So that they can get the full authorizations there.
Yeah, there's a couple of routes. Remember, like other companies have also pursued vaccines, you know, companies like AstraZeneca, which is used, their vaccine is used in other parts of the world. Novavax might, you know, is eventually hoping to get on the market. So there's those questions. But, and then there's full approval for Johnson & Johnson and Moderna's vaccines. But yeah, the big question really seems to be when the vaccines are going to be authorized for kids under 12. And that's obviously very pressing with school starting. What the FDA said is that they're just still waiting on clinical trial data from, you know, these trials aren't going, so they have to wait for the companies to gather data and then submit them to the agency for review. And so they can't like put a certain time frame on when they're going to authorize this. And what they really specify is that like they need these studies to be done in kids because kids are different. They're as Janet Woodcock, the acting commissioner of the FDA said today, they're not just small adults. So they want to make sure they have the same, like they want to make sure they understand the safety profile in kids. And they also want to make sure they have a correct dose to see if they can use a smaller dose in kids, for example.
Andrew Joseph, reporter at Stat News. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
I'm Oscar Ramirez, and this has been Reopening America. Don't forget that for today's big news stories, you can check me out on the Daily Dive podcast every Monday through Friday. So follow us on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.